Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
We got married. Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Now, you know, this week without football, we have decided to spend a lot of time on basketball.
Correct.
And it's just right around the corner. So on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline is Christy Thomas, the analyst for Kentucky Women's Basketball. How are you this morning, my friend?
Well, I'm doing well. It is weird not having some football to talk about, isn't it?
It is, and I know you're a big football person and host the pregame show for JMI and Kentucky Sports Network, but we're going to give that a rest, Christy, this week, and hopefully the guys are giving it a rest. But we want to talk some hoops with you, you being a former hoopster yourself and the analyst of the women's basketball team.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's that, I call it, you know, that perfect time of year when you have that crossover where, you know, college football and college basketball collide, and it's a super busy time of year, but it's awesome.
Well, Christy, I think the expectations this year for the team are pretty high given what they did last year, and they have so many of their players back this season.
This is a really, really veteran team. For the first time in a long time, you know, as I think back to, you know, when Matthew Mitchell came on board, I can't remember a time where they ever had the possibility of starting four seniors and a junior, you know, depending on how their starting five are going to shake out. But it's very likely that that could be the case, that, you know, you've got four seniors and a junior in your starting lineup. So just a ton of experience. You know, and finally a year under their belt that they, you know, things are normal and they've gotten back to as normal as they possibly can be, just in terms of workouts and, you know, team events and things like that. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for a team like this.
And not only the players with experience, but you'd have to think that Coach Elzy, after the year that she went through, you'd have to think she is more prepared for a normal season as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a matter of settling in. I think, you know, as an assistant coach, you have, you know, very clear-cut roles of what you're doing and how you're handling things. And then, you know, 2 weeks before season, you know, when you're thrust into that head coaching position, you know, there was a lot on her plate as well, too, you know, trying to deal with COVID and how things were going to be so different for the team, along with now taking on some head coaching duties. It really was a lot on her plate, for sure. So, you know, she's the first Kentucky coach to ever take a team to the NCAA tournament in her first season. So she had a lot of the pieces in place. It's just a matter of trying to get your feet under you, really, and just get settled in that role and in that position. So yeah, I think to have a season, you know, we're now seeing her, you know, I think you start to, it does feel more normal because, you know, we're seeing and hearing her in some commercials and we're seeing her out doing events and camps as they're kind of reaching out to different areas of Kentucky. So all of that was able to take place in the off season, a Big Blue Madness that was like normal, where she really kind of for the first time gets introduced as Kentucky's head coach. So, yeah, I think a lot of things really just finally settling in and settling down for everybody in this program.
And she made a great entrance rappelling from the rafters of Rupp Arena. How about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, for somebody like Kyra, what an interesting thing to have to follow Matthew Mitchell, you know, who we've come to know is just really doing it up big at Big Blue Madness. And, you know, he dances and he sings and he's really an entertainer at heart. So you know, you kind of have to do your own thing. You don't want to come in and try to be or do what Matthew did. She is her own person, and you know, wanted to do make a splash in her first Big Blue Madness, but do it in her own way. So I thought it was real gutsy. I got to be honest with you. I hate heights. I'm not rappelling from the Raptors arena at all. So I mean, kudos to her for having the guts to do something so cool.
Well, now they being the women's basketball team, ranked preseason 13th, and this is the third straight year that they've been ranked in the top 15 in the AP of the top 25. So I wouldn't say pressure, but they've got some things to shoot for. Tell us what you think this team might look like and how Kyra Elzy will coach this team now that she's got a full year.
Well, I think it's no surprise that you'd be ranked 13th in the country when you got a player like Ryan Howard. You know, they've had the luxury of this will be her fourth season at Kentucky. And when she came on to this program, you knew she was an absolute game changer. And she's proven to be that. And, you know, you're going to continue to see all these preseason awards roll in for her. She was just named the SEC Preseason Player of the Year. So don't be surprised when you start to see all these things start to roll in for her. And she's the type of player that really relishes that role and is really willing to take that on. She likes that heavy burden on her shoulders because she can handle it. She's the kind of player that really has all the tools to be able to do whatever she wants in a game. So even when she's double teamed, she's an excellent passer and can find the open man. She's very smart, has a high basketball IQ. She's a great shooter. She can score off the dribble. She's an excellent defender. She's got long arms. So she does everything really, really well. And then she just elevates the play of people around her. So you're going to see, you know, Robin Benton and Jasmine Massengill, two guards that are going to be into their second season with Kentucky. They were transfers and out of Auburn and Tennessee. So they certainly know, you know, how to play at a high level. And we saw flashes of that last year, but I think you'll start to see them be more comfortable. You'll see Robin Benton running that point position. And she is really athletic, so quick. Jasmine Massengill has a great body. She's very physical, scores really well in sort of that mid-range area. So I think what we'd like to see out of this team is really start to see some post players emerge as real go-tos. You know, they've got size. Olivia Owens is in there at 6'4", Dreyana Edwards at 6'2". Although Edwards doesn't have a ton of height, but she is really physical and really athletic and started out of the gates really hot last year and then kind of cooled off. But I think a lot of that is just sort of understanding how to play within herself and play within the system. But she looks great physically, so she's a player that could really have some real impact for this team as well, too. But I think that's sort of the thing. Nia Leveretter, a sophomore at 6'3", he's got some great size and length, excellent rebounder. Can they really work that size to their advantage to create some open looks for those really excellent outside shooters?
Well, we know the SEC women's basketball is a bear, maybe the best league in the country. Kentucky was, I think, pick fourth in the preseason behind South Carolina, Tennessee, and A&M. But have you got some spots on the schedule that you've looked at that you think, boy, this is going to be a bear, or, boy, this is a spot in this schedule we can make a serious run?
Well, you know, I think that when I look at the non-conference schedule, I think it's got the right mix of games that set them up to be able to learn a little bit about themselves, but then also be challenged and pushed. You know, they open on November 9th with Presbyterian, and then they have games at Indiana. They host West Virginia at home. They've got DePaul at home at Rupp Arena. Then they go to Louisville. So there's a stretch. There's four games intermingled in with some really winnable non-conference games that I think will really set them up for December 30th when they start their run in the SEC. The good news is, I think, for Kentucky this year, their SEC schedule opens at Auburn. So if you've got to be on the road, that's where I would want to be, is a place that kind of is in the bottom half of the SEC, as you're still trying to, at that point, you know, settle in and figure things out, and you're getting ready to go on a really, really tough run there. You know, then you've got Mississippi State at home, and then Georgia. Georgia is not the Georgia of old. They're kind of back to those Andy Lander days where they are, you know, really competing in the SEC, but it's always tough when you've got to go back to back on the road at South Carolina and at Tennessee, which seems to always happen to Kentucky. That's a tough go. They do have some time in between where they won't have a game, so that will be to their benefit for sure. But when you start on December 30th, it's a gauntlet from then until February 27th when they're done with their regular season SEC schedule, where you just can't take any games off.
Christy, you mentioned you were talking about Howard, and I don't think she has a chance to catch Valerie. She's about 1,100 points still behind Valerie, but she's only about 400 points away from being the second all-time leading scorer at Kentucky. That'd be a great accomplishment for her.
Oh, man. Well, she's, you know, the kind of player that, I think, I'll be honest with you, Dan, when she first came in as a freshman, I kind of thought if there was anybody that could challenge Valerie, you know, for that top spot, it would be her. And simply because she's able to score in so many different ways, and it's hard to kind of take one thing, you can't take just one thing away from her and take her out of a game. So, I think for her to have that number two spot, it absolutely solidifies what kind of player she's been for this program and what kind of impact she's had. No question it's happening. So now it'll just be a matter of how close does she get to that number one spot, as she cements her name in the record books.
I have a question you may not know the answer to, but I'm interested. Most of the home games are in Memorial Coliseum, but they do have a couple of games in Rupp. How do they decide who and when they're going to play in Rupp Arena? Do you have any idea?
Well, I can tell you, I know how they used to do it. They used to, you know, kind of look at, where they thought they would have a larger crowd, and they wanted to be able to accommodate that. So Louisville was always one they would have in Rupp Arena to try to be able to accommodate a larger crowd. They'd look at the SEC schedule, and typically Tennessee was a game they would have at Rupp Arena, knowing they would sell tickets. I can't speak to that Ole Miss game and why they're doing it at Rupp. That DePaul game, I think, is, two Power Five school, conferences that are going to play there. And I think it's a lot of it is just a matter of scheduling. They want to be able to get to Rupp Arena and give their ladies a chance to be able to play in that environment. So it's a lot of it is, how does the schedule work with Rupp? How does the schedule work with them? Can they get that done and pulled off in a sense to just be able to give them the experience? And that, typically is just kind of how it lands, luck of the draw sort of thing.
Got it.
Well, I've got a question for you, Christy, because on the men's side, everyone talks about wanting to see more Kentucky guys play, okay, recruit more Kentucky guys. That's been some verbiage that's come from the fan base for years. And Kentucky's had some, but not enough to please that part of the fan base. So, but on the women's side, you've got Emma King, who's from Stanford, Kentucky, and you've got Blair Green, who's from Harlan. Tell us about those two in-state products.
Well, Emma King actually earned herself a starting spot early last season, and it was simply from that was born from Kyra Elzey coming on board as the head coach and saying she'd earned it. I mean, she was working harder than anybody else on the team in practice. She was she had really elevated her game from her freshman year to her sophomore year, and she just was playing really hard and giving great attitude and effort, and she was being rewarded for that. Now, part of that, the reason why she fell out of that starting position was, simply because, at this level, playing in a Power Five, at a Power Five school in the SEC, there are athletes at every position on the floor. So I think that's maybe where you start to see some of that affect Emma's playing time, is that, she may not be quite as athletic or as fast. Doesn't mean that she doesn't have talent and that she's not an excellent shooter, and all those things are true. She is really known for her three-point shooting, and so that's kind of where her playing time was affected a little bit there. But now Blair Green has been a player that's been in this starting rotation from the very early in her career. She's got a great body at 6 feet. I think she plays and looks even taller than 6 feet on the floor. She's got long arms, so she does an excellent job rebounding. And she's a player that they've been able to utilize in a lot of different ways on the floor. She, too, was known for her excellent shooting, prolific scorer in high school, but she's become much more than that. She's been able to score off the dribble, got a nice mid-range jumper as well, too. And they also, out of necessity, in her sophomore year, put her in a four position. And so, you know, playing that four or five position for her was a little different, but was, you know, something that really the team needed her to do. So she stepped up and really kind of developed her game that way. So now, if you've got her in there as a two or three, but she's got the ability to post up and make some moves, that now presents a matchup problem for some teams. So, you know, she's really been able to develop her game in a lot of different ways, which has, you know, kept her in that starting rotation and been a very important piece of the puzzle for Kentucky for a long time.
And Christy, we also have Aaron Toler, who's from right here in Louisville, went to Sacred Heart, just a sophomore. Do you see her getting much playing time this year?
Well, she actually was just dismissed from the team.
Oh, no.
Yes, about two, a week ago, I think they announced that she had been dismissed from the team, just not you know, not withholding team standards. They did not go into any detail about that or what that meant for her. So Aaron was not getting as much, you know, playing time, I think, probably as she had hoped, or maybe the Louisville area might have expected her to get. You know, I think the hope is that Aaron can find her a place where she is able to get some playing time. I think speed and quickness was really an issue for her and why she wasn't able to get some time there as a freshman. So to that end, you know, that Kentucky's youth is they're very top heavy when it comes to you know, upperclassmen. So only two sophomores now in that class, and then only one freshman for Kentucky right now. So, you know, they'll have some work to do either from a recruiting standpoint for freshmen coming in or into that transfer portal. That's been good to Kentucky the last couple of years, though. That transfer portal has really served them well.
Christy, we've got one question for you before we let you go. I know you're busy. You've been around this team for quite a few years now, doing the analyst job with the women's basketball. What do you see that are one or two of the biggest concerns you have for this particular team? You got a ton of experience, but what are a couple things that you can tell us to watch?
Well, I think from you know, from things that you're going to be excited about, you know, I think our you're going to see an excellent shooting team. You're going to see a team that plays really, really tough lockdown defense, and they're going to be a team that can do it all over the court. So that always is exciting when you can create turnovers and, you know, score in transition. I think you'll see a lot of that because this team is fast. So you're going to see them be able to get the ball out and score very quickly, you know, in an open court, which I think is a ton of fun. Yeah, I think from a concern standpoint, it's kind of what I mentioned earlier, is just really looking for that true post presence, a real go-to player that can play with their back to the basket and make moves and finish around the rim. I'll tell you, historically, Kentucky, I don't know why, but even under, you know, Matthew Mitchell for years, they've just struggled to finish. And it's not like these players aren't working on that in practice. They absolutely are. They're working with pads and, you know, brooms, and everybody's, you know, holding, working with them to try to finish around the rim. And Kentucky's post players just have not been very reliable there. So, you know, I think just trying to find someone with size, now whether that's Owens or Edwards or whoever that is, you want them to have the ability to be able to certainly face up and knock down some jump shots. But, you know, Kentucky really hasn't had a true post presence that you can, you know, dump it down to them on the block. They're going to make a move, and they're going to be sure-handed and finish. But if somebody could emerge like that, then that's really a game changer, you know, for this team. Like I say, you've got plenty of shooters that will open things up for if they can really start to establish a real post game and a post presence.
Well, Christy, we'll change one quick question about football. We got to change because you're involved with that as in the pregame show. Quickly, is Mississippi State a trap game for the Cats down the stretch?
Mike, listen, I am the eternal optimist when it comes to UK football. We're running the table the rest of the way out here.
There you go. There you go.
We're going 11-1, finishing this thing out and going big. Go big or go home.
Christy, I think you predicted when we had you on the 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think you predicted 11 wins for this team. Did you not?
I'm sticking to it, Dan, too. I am sticking to it. I'm not wavering from that at all. I don't see any reason why this team can whether it's on the road or it's at home or where it is or what they're ranked, there's no reason why this team can't win out the rest of the way.
Well, we really appreciate your time. We appreciate your optimism, too.
Oh, yeah.
Go Cats. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
How about that breakdown of the Kentucky women's basketball team? I like that. I forgot to say this. I have watched, I've been to a game, not last year, but pre-pandemic. I went to a couple ball games. But I watch them on TV. And this Howard gal, I tell you, Dan, she's got a good feel for the game. Mm-hmm. Now, she's got the height and the length and all that kind of stuff. But she has a nice feel for the game. When to shoot, where to go. When to pay. I mean, she's not forcing a lot of things. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, and I've said this before. I really enjoy watching the women's game. I think they're more sound fundamentally than the men are. You know, they obviously don't play above the rim, but if you're looking at the game from a pure how you play the game of basketball, I think the girls got a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, and Matthew Mitchell did a great job of bringing that program along, and now Coach Elsie's got a chance to put her stamp on the ball club, and if she does, Cats go back to the NCAA, and as we know, the NCAA is a one-game journey. And it's you either get it done or you are done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the two. It's different than a playoff series in baseball.
For sure.
Or basketball.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before the show was they did a team building thing.
Yeah.
Went down to Fort Campbell, I believe, and stayed in the barracks and had a military experience. And those things aren't easy. I mean, those are if they did it like the military people do. I mean, they run all day and swim and have a
up at 4:30 in the morning
and have a heavy backpack on. So, I'm glad team building wasn't around when you and I were playing. Well, that sounds like a lot of work to me.
Team building. We had team building. It was called the running program for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You ran. And you ran together, and you were mad together, and you
threw up together.
You threw up together. That was team building. That was team building. You know, that was.
I don't think I ever threw up, but I sure saw some of our teammates who did.
I may have. I can't remember. I just know I didn't like that program at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was too long. But I was like, nobody liked it.
It was hard.
Yeah,
it was really hard. We would 3 days a week we do sprints, do 220s,
440s,
and it would build up, and you had to do them in a certain time. And what was really funny is some of the guys, you know, trying to impress Coach Hall, because Coach Rupp never smelled the running program.
He
probably didn't even know we were doing it. But Coach trying to impress Coach Hall, and they'd run those first three or four as hard as they could. And
32 seconds.
Exactly. Yep. And 32 seconds doesn't sound like a long time to run a 220, but try cutting across the infield and running another one. and I think on the last day we did 12.
12
220s
correct.
Under 30. And some of the guys would run the first one real quick, trying to impress Coach Hall. And by the time they got to number 12, they were done. And my man Dampier, he would run the first one. He had it down to a science. He would hit his foot on the line at 32 for the first one, and he'd hit his foot on the line for the 12th one at 32, and then walk back to the locker room. And Coach Hall called him, because he wasn't going all out, he called him a prima donna, because he wouldn't run as hard as he possibly could. But Louis had that running program down pat.
Well, by the time you were a senior, okay, you had a chance to figure that out, and know how to pace yourself, and you know, it was brutal, but mentally, I think it really helped, and conditioning it helped.
Oh, there's no doubt it helped conditioning-wise. I mean, come October 15th, with first day of practice, we were in better shape than any team in the country.
But the difference between now and then, they have practices where they can work individually. They can work in three players in drills. And they do all that stuff as conditioning. They don't go out and run like we did. And they lift weights as conditioning.
Right.
Very serious about that. But I know Calipari has said this many times, and I think this is important. And I don't think we ever did this, Dan. But preseason, when you're trying to get in condition, or the summer, then, you know, you should be playing ball games, okay? You shouldn't be all 100% into one-on-one, two-on-two, individual work. You should be able to get and develop a feel for the game by playing five-on-five. And he was saying, I told my guys a couple summers ago, or this summer, one of the two, he's talked about it for a while. I told him, just go play basketball. Don't worry about this individual training. I'm going to give you 2 days or whatever it is. Just go play hoops. I mean, you know, just go play.
But we couldn't, and it was a long, long time ago. I don't remember us picking up a basketball before October 15th.
I agree.
We couldn't get in the gym, could we? We didn't play.
A lot of times it was the floor, the baskets were up. Not the floor, the baskets were up.
Yeah. But I don't remember. I mean, I do remember the running program because it was about a six-week deal. And it was tough, but I don't remember us picking up a basketball before October 15th.
I agree, and you know, that really stunts your development. I mean, they're doing things now that if we had a chance to do those then, I'm sure they would have helped our game.
You think we would have been better?
Well, sure you would. Sure you would. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you just, what you're doing is taking a fine talent like yours, polishing it up. Just polishing that talent up.
Oh, man. I have a vision that I would have been better if I'd had more opportunity to play. Vision, everybody has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation that the Pratts are going through right now for churning out next-level entrees. And the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the historically low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, MLS, consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back for our last half hour presented to you by Stockton Mortgage. And a texter made it very clear, Mr. Issel, that I have a connection to Kansas. The largest city in Pratt County, Kansas, is Prattville.
Pratt County,
Kansas.
And the county seat is Prattville.
Prattville.
I wonder how far that is from Lawrence, because we're going to Lawrence
end
of January.
If we do, we take some pictures. And maybe we take Sevier Wheeler with us to make sure we get there and back, because he never turns the ball over, so he wouldn't turn over our trip.
Well, first we have to figure out where Prattville is. I mean, if it's like out by Colorado, we're gonna skip it. It takes all day to drive across the state of Kansas. So. Yeah,
Prattville used to be in Dayton, Ohio, at Holman Drive, where I grew up. And of course, times change and people leave, but that was Prattville. Just this little bit of space, man. That's all we had.
Did they, when you were an All-American at Kentucky, did they do anything in Dayton, like put up a sign, home of Mike Pratt, or anything?
No.
Now, they would have if you'd gone to Ohio State, I'm sure.
Or Dayton.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, big time.
Dayton. They got Don May Drive in Dayton.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, that's
there's an Issel Drive in Batavia.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you and Don May.
How about that?
How long is it?
It's in a new subdivision. Well, one of the newer subdivisions in Batavia. It's several blocks long.
Yeah. Oh, the kids that grow up there better be shooters, or they failed. They failed to carry on the tradition.
Those people grow up now saying, "What? Where did they come up with this name? I can't believe they Issel Drive. What is that?"
Well, we're talking basketball today. Taking a break from football. Kentucky's got a bye week. Louisville comes on.
And Cleveland, it looks like Cleveland's going to have a bye week, too. They got nobody. You just told me that Mayfield's out game.
Mayfield's
out.
They got
Chubb. They got the Broncos coming in tomorrow night, right?
And you should be able to pick up a W if everybody's healthy, right?
Yeah, but Broncos are bad. Who's the backup quarterback for Cleveland?
I just saw it come across. It was just announced. I think it's a Casey Keenum guy. See what you think about that broadcast.
All right.
Process.
Yeah, it's Case Keenum.
That's what I thought. Now, he's been a backup. He was a pretty high draft choice at one time, no?
No. I think he was either undrafted or drafted in like the sixth or seventh round.
Well, he's been passed around a little bit.
But they don't have Hunt. They may
have Hunt, but they don't have Chubb.
Oh, I didn't. I thought.
They're both on the IR.
Hunt's out for a few weeks, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they don't have Odell Beckham.
That's all right.
I mean, I agree with you on that. He's on the team, but they don't have him anymore. So it'll be interesting to see if the Pumpkinheads get on the board tomorrow.
The only way they win that game is their defense plays a heck of a lot better than its play.
Well, they don't
play up to its potential.
They don't have to play too well to shut down the Broncos, I'll tell you.
I don't know. What do you think, Process?
Look, they should win even without Baker and their running backs, but
no.
God, I don't know if they will. I just don't believe that much in the Broncos.
The Broncos are bad. The Broncos are bad. I told you going into Pittsburgh and having I know they won the first three games, but after the third week, the three teams they beat were a combined 0-9, and my double hammer lock was them going into Pittsburgh, and my second double hammer lock was the Raiders going into Mile High last week. I agree with Process. I think Cleveland still finds a way to win. But the line is only three, I think.
Well, they better because, you know, they still have to play Baltimore twice.
If they don't get healthy, they're in big trouble.
And if they don't win these games they're supposed to win, you know, they're going to be pulling a moving van up next to the coach's house.
He'll be the next one on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, they had great expectations in Cleveland for this year. And you're sitting at 3-3 with some key players on the IR. Doesn't look good.
No.
The line started, it opened up at 6 in favor of Cleveland, is all the way down to 2.5.
Yeah. Well,
because of everything that's happened.
Yeah. Mayfield's not playing.
Crazy movement. Mayfield and Hunt. I mean, it's dropped.
Yeah. Well, they know what they're doing.
I know we were supposed to be talking about basketball, but here's another one for you in Process. I was reading an article, and some guy was opining. Somebody, it was one of those, the people write in questions.
Forum.
And a guy asked, he said, given, let's say the salaries are equal, which is a better job, Southern Cal or UCLA? And the guy that asked the question was leaning toward Southern Cal primarily for two reasons. Number one, even though Southern Cal hasn't been doing very good on the recruiting trail, it still is a pretty fertile ground for recruits in California. Yeah. And you don't have to play the SEC West. Those were the questioner's ideas why Southern Cal was a better job. The guy responded.
Wait, is it UCLA or LSU?
He meant LSU.
I'm just making sure.
I'm sorry. Did I say UCLA?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Put the ding on him.
I'm sorry. Why didn't you interrupt me and make fun of me?
Well, because
I would have done it to you.
Oh, I know you would. I got
LSU or Southern Cal. And so no wonder you looked at me funny when I said you don't have to play the SEC West. The answer to it was, first of all, everybody wants to be coaching in a place that gets respect. And the SEC, now I'm not, these are not my words, these are the guy who wrote the article. He said the SEC is the NFL of college football. So if you want to.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. And he also said if you play in the SEC, you're going to be in prime time on one of the major networks or on the SEC network. He said if you're coaching at Southern Cal, you're going to have national games like this week when they play Notre Dame. But a lot of your games come on at 10:30 at night, East Coast time, and so you don't get any, you don't get nearly as much exposure as you would coaching at LSU. But here is the one that I found. Here was the last point he made. And they used $5 million, okay, because they said if the salary is equal. $5 million, the buying power of $5 million in Baton Rouge is equal to $3.3 million in California, just because everything's so much more expensive. Then he said when you add the taxes on top of 3.3 with all of the taxes, you know, obviously you've got the federal income tax, which is the same.
Lots of local and state. But,
oh, unbelievable. Yeah. They tax in California, you get taxed for everything. He said at best you would come away with half of that. So your buying power, taking a $5 million job in California, is down to like 1.7. He said that's AAC money. So his point was the coaching job at LSU would be a lot more attractive than the coaching job at Southern Cal.
You know, a name's come up that I think makes a lot of sense. James Franklin at Penn State. He coached at Vanderbilt, did a good job in a tough spot. Moved to Penn State. He's done a good job there. And I know he hasn't gone to the playoffs or anything like that, but Penn State's a very special bird itself, being that little town in Pennsylvania. Yeah. And he would be a guy that given that the athletic director Woodward likes to make splashes, likes to make sexy hires.
At LSU.
Yep. This guy, with his background at Vanderbilt, in the league, and he's done well at Penn State, you know, he could be a real candidate. His name keeps popping up.
But he's not leaving Penn State to go to Southern Cal.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the difference? When he's at Penn State, Dan, he's got to beat Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State just to get to the championship game. So he goes to LSU.
LSU I agree with. I agree with LSU. Said Southern Cal. Yeah. He's not leaving. Penn State to go to Southern Cal.
You talk about buying power. What's his buying power at State College, Pennsylvania?
Good point.
You know, it's pretty huge. But, I mean, to LSU, that makes some sense if he's willing to go, because he's really not – I understand Alabama, and I understand A&M's on the rise and all that kind of good stuff. Auburn has always been in the picture. But, hey, he had the same thing at the Big Ten East side.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And, you know, the article I just quoted, they theoretically used $5 million as the salary. Whoever goes to LSU is going to make a lot more than
$5 million.
I mean, they were, I think, until Jimbo Fisher got his extension, Coach O was the second highest paid football coach in the country behind Saban. So they're going to pay more than $5 million a year for that job.
If they're willing to give Coach O, what, $17 million to walk?
Yeah.
They can pay, and they're going to have to pay whatever it takes to get the job done. It'll be interesting. Does the AD whiff on his first choice? Does it come out? He doesn't want it to come out. It's all backroom stuff right now, talking to agents. And but if he decides that A and B is this, these two coaches, and A turns him down, you know, you got about one more whiff in a coaching hire, and then you really get egg on your face.
Just like a GM.
Yeah.
A good GM can make it through three head coaches. a bad one can make it through two. But if you whiff a couple of times, then you're going to be the one that's hitting the road. Before we leave for the day, let's talk a little bit about the NBA. Started last night. Lakers were beaten at home by Golden State. And Curry had a terrible night. I mean, he did have a triple-double. He had 10 rebounds and 10 assists, but his shooting was horrendous. And they still lost. LeBron had 34. Anthony Davis had 33. Although he was 2 of 7 from the free throw line, and the Lakers were like 9 of 21. How can you talk about being a championship team when you can't shoot 50% from the free throw line? But that was it. Nobody else. Westbrook was.
I was going to say Westbrook bad. Had a bad.
Yeah,
game.
He was bad, and nobody else scored in double figures. So that wasn't a great start for the Lakers. Milwaukee, the defending champions, beat the Nets, who are, I think, everybody's favorite to win the championship.
But maybe shorthanded.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Nets have a lot of players like Blake Griffin, like
Millsap,
Aldridge from San Antonio, Patty Mills from San Antonio. They have a lot of players on that team that might be kind of on the backside of their careers. And without Irving, they only have 2 scorers. Now, Patty Mills had a good shooting night, and I think he had 20. But they didn't give Milwaukee much of a tussle. But the one I wanted to talk about was Process's boy, Ben Simmons. And we said
not my boy.
And we said yesterday that this is not going to end well. And Embiid, who is, I mean, he's the face of that franchise. He's the superstar. Would you not agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
He's fed up with it. He said, I'm not babysitting anymore. I don't like the guy. I mean, he tried to be nice because somebody went to him and said, hey, we can never move this idiot if you keep saying bad things about him. So he went through a few weeks where he was positive, but now he's fed up. Evidently, he was not participating in drills yesterday, and Doc Rivers told him to go home, kicked him out of practice, suspended him for the first game. I mean, Embiid said all the right things, too. He said, hey, we're here to work hard. We have to develop chemistry to be able to win a championship. Get this guy out of here. So Philadelphia is in a real bad spot with him.
Boy, they are. And but saying that, Monk, okay, UK guy, he did hit 2 threes last night for L.A., for 6 points. They need a little bit more than that out of their rotation guys, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they need somebody to at least get to double figures to help LeBron and Davis. I don't know. I think the Lakers might be on the backslide.
I'm hoping it's your favorite player, Dan, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
He's the savior.
Yeah, yeah, what did he do last night? I forgot.
I think he was 3 for 6, maybe.
Really?
Something like that. Yeah. He was all right. He's a 37-year-old man. I can't imagine he's going to do much.
No.
You know, that's the problem. They and the Nets both, the guys Dan talked about. You know, they got their rotation players, the guys they're counting on being just outside the starting five, but being major contributors, are all on the back nine of their career.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's your point's well taken. I think you look at the Lakers the same way. You can't expect the big two to carry everything. What's his name's got to be in it?
Westbrook.
Westbrook, 10 points last night. He's got to do better than that.
And he has become – he had 4 turnovers last night. He's become a turnover machine. He's turning the ball over like crazy. And you would think playing with 2 superstars like Davis and LeBron – it would be pretty easy to get them the basketball.
Well, don't you think there's a little bit of pressure maybe that he hasn't had? I mean, he's playing the third stick. He's usually the first stick.
Right, that's a great point.
And so
that's
I don't know how he's accepting that.
But I think he's kind of like Carmelo. It you know, it takes some of them longer than others, but when they've made all the money in the world and they've made all-stars and all-star teams, will be in the Hall of Fame discussion, there comes a point where it the most important thing becomes winning a championship. And I think that's both Westbrook and Carmelo have reached that point.
Yeah, Westbrook was 4 of 13 shooting, and he had those four turnovers. They didn't get much else off that bench.
And he's usually – how many rebounds did he have? Because he's usually a triple-double machine.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's always in double digits in rebounds. How many rebounds did he do?
I don't have that right here, but he had four fouls, four turnovers, and they now, when they beat somebody off the dribble and get to the paint with the ball, it's called a blow-by.
A blow-by. Hold on. Let me get my notebook out so I can put that down.
Please make note in below a three-level score.
Yeah. And paint touches.
Paint touches
is on there. Blow-by.
Blow-by.
I got
and it. I was reading the article. He had a handful of blow-bys.
Really?
On the perimeter.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you what, if anybody's going east on 64 in the next 45 minutes, they're going to see some blow-bys because I'm going to Keeneland. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. This has been Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.